The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We've got cover on today's show. We're really glad you could join us. Of course, today is Wednesday, and that means it's time to rejoin with Dr. Mitch Earlywine at half past the hour. For those of you who are new to the show, every Wednesday we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's one of the leading researchers in America on the use of marijuana and health and science and culture and history and everything you could possibly want to know about our favorite plant, he can tell you. So we'll be taking your calls at 971-533-7111. 11. That's half past the hour, and that's here in the 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time zone. So if you're watching a replay, don't bother calling in because we're not here. Also on today's show, we've got some more Christmas holiday type music for you for Irie Wednesday today. We're going to turn things over to Sister Cincy and Frosty the Dope Man. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to take a little bit of time to, catch up. I was off on vacation for a couple of weeks, and there's all sorts of things I have to rant about that have already happened, but I'm late to the party. So the Weed Wars premiere. I know people have been watching Weed Wars on Discovery Channel, and I know I ranted about the D'Angelo brothers yesterday, but that was about their promotion of Weed Wars. Now I want to rant a little bit about Weed Wars itself. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Also, we've got news headlines coming up here right after the first break. We've got, of course, today is a day that will live in infamy, of course. That's Pearl Harbor Day. Today is the 70th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, and I've got something to say about it, some interesting historical aspects about that day that actually tie it into the marijuana movement. So stay tuned for that in our news. Also in news, we've got the American Cancer Society. I got this forwarded to me by email. A claim from the American Cancer Society that smoking of marijuana in rare cases can lead to amputation. Yeah, that's right, amputation. So we'll get to that in the news, and I'll debunk the hell out of it. Also, a scary news story coming up from law enforcement on the bust of Fresno medical marijuana growers and a trafficking operation leading back to Boston, Massachusetts, and an update on the New York Police Department. You know how they had been stop and frisking people in New York, leading it to the marijuana arrest capital of the world. The New York Police Department commissioner told them to stop that, and we've got some statistics to see what has happened, what has the result of that scolding from the commissioner. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live and our headlines. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org. And yes, we are working on fixing the iTunes feed. Be right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply
of the sacred smoke. Tjena, jag heter David, PKA the Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The capital of the United States, December 8th, 1941. Today, the Congress of the United States convenes in a solemn joint session. A session that will hear the President of the United States deliver his message that will ask for a declaration of war with Japan. The House chamber, always looking small and overcrowded, has today attained a dignity that overcomes even the gray girders that temporarily support the glass roof of the chamber. The galleries started filling early this morning and, of course, are now packed. To witness this historic occasion are most of the dignitaries and officials of the Capitol. At 12 o'clock, the Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, called the House to order after a brief prayer by the Chaplain of the House, Dr. James Sherrill Montgomery. The House passed the resolution which provided for the joint session and then recessed until the call of the chair, which is expected shortly before 12:30. The Supreme Court at this time, I believe, is walking into the chamber, and the cabinet is also coming in at this time. And so after they come in, the President of the United States will arrive, and at that time we intend to turn you over to the Speaker's platform. We take you now to the Speaker's platform as the President is arriving.
Senators and representatives, I have the distinguished honor of presenting the President of the United States.
Members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
That was the announcement of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and we commemorate that anniversary today, the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor Day, the attack that led us into World War II. And in the sad news, of course, there are very few survivors of that left. The Pearl Harbor Survivors Association is disbanding as of December 31st. They just don't have enough members to keep the organization running. So my heart goes out to all of those still living survivors and the families of those who perished in the Pearl Harbor attacks. Now, my grandfather was a member of that Greatest Generation, and he fought in the Pacific, and he passed on years ago, but I always remember him when this day comes around. You know, as a child, I saw his sergeant's uniform, clean and pressed, hanging in a plastic bag in his closet, and that's just about as much as I knew about his involvement in World War II, because unlike some men who never see war, he didn't talk about it much. Now, my friends often kid me that I can find a marijuana angle in any news story. Today is no different. On December 7th, 1941, cannabis had been federally prohibited for 4 years already. Most states had begun eradicating and prohibiting cannabis even before 1937. A nation founded by hemp farmers, whose first hemp plantations were sown in 1611, had criminalized hemp farming for the first time in its history. It hadn't much effect. American farmers had long switched to corn, wheat, and soy, and other more profitable crops. Hemp was cheap enough to get from overseas farmers, and plenty of modern new synthetic fibers made from bountiful and cheap petroleum were too much competition for hemp in most cases. Except warfare. Ocean warfare requires battleships, and they require rigging that withstands rot, seawater, and is extremely strong, something only hemp, rope, and canvas can provide. It was just a few months after Pearl Harbor that the Japanese had captured the Philippines, and with it, our primary source of illegal to produce in America, hemp, so that we so desperately needed for the ships engaged in the Pacific theater. So, in the summer of 1942, America mustered up a little hemp for victory.
Long ago, when these ancient Grecian temples were new, hemp was already old in the service of mankind. For thousands of years, even then, this plant had been grown for cordage and coarse cloth in China and elsewhere in the East. For centuries prior to about 1850, all the ships that sailed the Western seas were rigged with hempen rope and sails. For the sailor, no less than the hangman, hemp was indispensable. A 44-gun frigate, like our cherished old Ironsides, took over 60 tons of hemp for rigging, including an anchor cable 25 inches in circumference. The Conestoga wagons and prairie schooners of pioneer days were covered with hemp and canvas. Indeed, the very word canvas comes from the Arabic word for hemp. In those days, hemp was an important crop in Kentucky and Missouri. Then came cheaper imported fibers for cordage, like jute, sisal, and manila hemp, and the culture of hemp in America declined. But now, with Philippine and East Indian sources of hemp in the hands of the Japanese, and shipment of jute from India curtailed, American hemp must meet the needs of our Army and Navy, as well as of our industries.
And that was how the Hemp for Victory program led to us finally reigniting the American culture of hemp farming. Of course, after World War II, there was no more need for Hemp for Victory. Oil was still cheap and plentiful, and so was overseas hemp. It's sad that it takes something like the magnitude of a world war to return us to our hemp heritage. Let's hope it doesn't take climate catastrophe to bring back the next return. And thanks, Grandpa, for your service. We will never forget that Greatest Generation. All right, the American Cancer Society says marijuana use can lead to amputation. Seriously, American Cancer Society, you're publishing this reefer madness on your complementary and alternative medicine data sheet in medical marijuana? And I've got it posted at the blog, stash.normal.org, if you want to see the links. Let me quote some of the stuff from their danger sheet here. Many researchers agree that marijuana contains known carcinogens, or chemicals that can cause cancer. Yeah, okay, all researchers agree that water contains a known explosive, hydrogen, a volatile element that could ignite with as little as static electricity. That doesn't mean that water can cause explosions. Chemistry matters. Yes, cannabis smoke, all smoke, contains carcinogens. But cannabis smoke also contains THC, which has been shown to have anti-tumoral effects and inhibits cancer cell growth through apoptosis or programmed cell death. Here's another one. Results of epidemiological studies of marijuana and cancer risk have been inconsistent, and most recent epidemiological studies have not found a substantial effect on cancer risk. However, some researchers caution that these studies are difficult to conduct, as some people may not be truthful about illegal habits such as smoking marijuana, and that these negative results should not be interpreted as convincing evidence of safety. What? We do studies that can't distinguish an increased risk of cancer from pot smoking, but folks lie about pots, we can't trust the studies? Okay, well that would mean either the people who don't get cancer are lying about smoking pot, or the people who do get cancer are lying about not smoking pot. Now the former doesn't make a whole lot of sense, so the author must assume that there's a whole lot of pot smokers in cancer wards who are lying about it and blaming it on something else. Okay. That seems kind of a stretch to me, especially when Dr. Tashkin studied thousands of pot smokers for 30 years and concluded, quote, "We hypothesized that there would be a positive association between marijuana use and lung cancer, and that the association would be more positive with heavier use. What we found instead was no association at all, and even a suggestion of some protective effect." The ACS position paper continues. They caution that smoking marijuana may decrease reproductive function. Yeah. Willie Nelson has 7 kids. Snoop Dogg has 3 kids. Tommy Chong has 5 kids. Bob Marley has 11 kids. Now, I'm just saying, those reproductive scares have been studied, and they're bunk. Here they continue. It can cause lung disease and increase the risk of cancer of the lungs, mouth, and tongue. It may also suppress the body's immune system. Yeah, sure, right. That's why so many doctors recommend it for AIDS patients who have the most compromised immune systems on the planet. That's why I rarely get colds and never get the flu, despite passing joints and pipes from the lips of many other pot smokers to mine own. This immune system scare is bunk, too. They continue. And the increase of risk of leukemia in children whose mothers smoke marijuana during pregnancy. Women who are pregnant or breastfeeding should not use marijuana. Well, okay, pregnancy is always a critical time for wise health care, and women should be cautious about their use of any substance while pregnant. However, cannabis can be a much safer remedy for pregnancy-related health issues like morning sickness than many of the prescriptions commonly given to expectant mothers. They continue. The symptoms of a marijuana overdose include nausea, vomiting, hacking cough, disturbances to heart rhythms, and numbness in the limbs. Marijuana overdose? Then you admit there's a dose of marijuana that would be medically acceptable. What they're describing here is the immediate effects of taking a huge bong hit, and those effects diminish very rapidly. Chronic use can also lead to laryngitis, bronchitis, and general apathy. Yes, chronic inhalation of hot smoke of any kind can lead to laryngitis and bronchitis. But the amotivational syndrome, the apathy, has long been debunked. See Willie Nelson, Snoop Dogg, Tommy Chong, Bob Marley, and then add in Michael Phelps, Carl Sagan, Sir Richard Branson, etc., etc. With chronic use, the ability to learn and remember new information may become impaired. Really? I just learned and memorized bass lines and lyrics to 10 new songs for my band. This month, I've been learning the new Joomla backend of the Normal website. Every year, I'm analyzing and changing data from my memory, and I can tell you that there were 853,000 arrests for marijuana, comprising 52% of all drug arrests, 15.8 million adults using marijuana monthly, and the highest recorded potency of seized marijuana came in at 37.2% in a sample taken by cops in San Jose in 2007. If I couldn't learn and remember new information on a daily basis, I would have been unable to produce now 810 daily talk radio shows. they continue. Although it is rare, a severe shutdown of blood circulation to the arms or legs has been reported in young people who smoke marijuana. In some cases, it was so severe, amputation was required. In all my years beating back reefer madness, this is a first. I have never heard of a story where somebody had to have their arms or legs amputated because of their use of cannabis. Now, I have covered stories of people who use marijuana for their already existing amputations, since it is a superior medication for their neuropathic or so-called phantom pain. And I did cover the story of one double amputee diabetic who got evicted from her home for her medical marijuana use. Oh my God. Didn't have enough time to get to the rest of the news. We'll cover some of it in hour two. Stick with us. We'll also take your calls with Dr. Mitch, and we've got your Irie Wednesday coming up next.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Warning from Hippie: when toking in the woods, watch out for park rangers. Hold it right there, mister. Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we're going to go back in the vault for some more music with that holiday feel to it. For Irie Wednesday today, we're going to turn you over to Sister Sensi and a song we've played before called Frosty the Dope Man, my favorite kind. Be right back.
Frosty the Dope Man was a happy, jolly soul. And without a doubt, he could set it out. Best believe that boy could roll. Frosty the Dope Man blazes up all winter long. He had the finest weed, not a single seed. Best believe that it was strong. There must have been some magic in that pipe he passed around. When he put it in his mouth, he began to dance around. Poor Frosty the Dope Man was as blood could be. With his eyes so red and his naughty dread, he would smoke his Christmas trees. Puffity puff, puff, puffity puff, puff, look at Frosty some more. Puffity puff, puff, puffity puff, puff, he really ain't no joke. Smoke it up, Frosty, poke it up, Frosty, look at Frosty go. Raise it up, Frosty, blaze it up, Frosty, over the hills of snow. There must have been some magic in that pipe he passed around. When he put it in his mouth, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty, Frosty.
Frosty. Frosty the Dope Man. Scabba-dabba-dabba-da-da. Frosty the Dope Man knew the cops were up that day. But he said, let's run, let's all have fun before I go away. Down to the village with a big spliff in his hand. Running here and there all around the square. Try and catch me if you can. Led them down the streets of town till he saw that house. He only paused a moment when he heard them all aside. Whoa, Frosty the Dope Man had to hurry on his way. But he waved bye-bye, said, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday.
Of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that, but finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Narnell Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic bed. And travel to a better place, and travel to a better place, and travel to a better place instead.
You're listening to Narnell Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
It's time for Narnell Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Trying to get Dr. Mitch here on the line, but I think we might be having some difficulties here. Give me just a second while we check what we got going out here. Hello,
I'm right there.
You are there. Oh, hello, Dr. Mitch. How you doing?
Okay.
got all messed up and turned around here, but glad to have you on the line. How are things?
It's been a crazy day, but I'm looking forward to a nice evening.
Oh, good. Good for you. All right. Well, let's get right to it because there's a couple of things that have been going on in studies here and information in marijuana science that we really wanted to talk to you about. The first of which is confirmation of stuff we've talked about before, but this study out of UCSF, San Francisco there with Donald Abrams and these guys looking at opioids and the synergistic effect with cannabinoids. Tell us what we've learned from this study and how this promises to help people in the future.
I mean, the bottom line is we're seeing all roads lead to Rome. In fact, the cannabinoid system can handle some of the things that we thought were only functioning as a part of the opiate system. And with that in mind, then, folks who've been using opiates for pain management can probably decrease or even eliminate the use of those drugs and instead turn to cannabinoid-based medicines. And this is a big plus because the side effects are markedly nicer. Opiates are notorious for a symptom nobody ever really discusses, and that's constipation. But particularly after abdominal surgery or things like that, you really don't want that side effect. And here's also a chance for folks to essentially not develop the tolerance that's so rapidly associated with opiate use. And then if you do need an opiate once in a while, you don't have to give yourself a dose that's so high it's going to keep you from breathing.
Yeah, you know, I say it over and over again that when I talk to patients, time after time they say, you know, I it's not like I stopped using them, but I'm using half or a third to the Vicodins or Oxycontins or whatever it is they might be on that they had been using before. Now, when they do this study, are they doing this study with just THC? Are they doing it with whole cannabis? What are we finding here?
Well, the beauty is Donald Abrams Lab has been approved for use with cannabis, but we're finding comparable things even with THC on its own. I'm not a fan of THC by itself because whole plants has the cannabidiol we need to keep some of those crazy magical ideation side effects that often occur with THC by itself. But the fact that this works even in a lab with just plain THC and the opiates is certainly reassuring that CB1 receptor is what's all involved.
You know, I'm a big fan of getting as much research into cannabinoid sciences and the pharmacology of it as possible, so long as we're able to still get plant cannabis. But looking into that future, could this be a situation where, you know, I hear of these different pharmaceuticals that get advertised on TV all the time where it's the old your chocolate and my peanut butter, right? They combine two great tastes that taste great together. They take two drugs that are synergistic and put them in one pill. Could you see them doing that with, you know, oxy cannabis, maybe? Something like that?
I mean, I wouldn't put anything past the pharmaceutical companies, but it would seem rather maladaptive. You'll notice that all those drugs that have opiates often have aspirin in them, and unfortunately it's more to make it toxic and to keep people from using them at high doses than it is actually based on any kind of research.
Really?
Back in the days, in the early 1900s, there was Dr. Poppy's opium extract that had opium, cannabis, and alcohol, and I'm sure that must have been delightful, but it must have created all kinds of outrageous addiction. So I'm hoping that we'll just let folks have the whole plant when they need it, and if they occasionally need an opiate, they can turn to that when they do.
Now, moving from the science of this to the politics of this, how does this bode for, you know, continued trying to legalize or reschedule cannabis? I mean, I can imagine there might be, you know, pharmaceutical companies that don't want to see us using half to a third of their product.
Sad but true. I think there will be some resistance to this under those circumstances. But these data are really compelling. And I think when you think about the expense of opiates versus the expense of cannabis, if we're going to have an era where we all have medical care through the government, or even if we're all, you know, paying into the same HMO, this is going to be good for us in the long run because it really does save money to have cannabis instead of opiates for pain control.
All right. Now, we're taking calls for Dr. Mitch here live in the 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern hour. If you want to get on the phone, it's 971-533-7111. Or you can get into our chat over at Ustream and ask questions that way if you like. Now, before we got on the air with you, Dr. Mitch, I was recounting in the news segment something we found out at the American Cancer Society, and it was it's their health and wellness section. They're talking about alternative and complementary medicines, and some really amazing stuff that they claimed. And the most outrageous thing, you know, we've been doing these Reefer Madness segments for years now, and I've never heard this claim. Let me read this to you. Although it is rare, a severe shutdown of blood circulation to the arms or legs has been reported in young people who smoked marijuana. In some cases, it was so severe that amputation was required. Have you ever heard that?
No, in fact, that is the weirdest thing you can imagine. And yes, a lot of inhaled meds do increase heart rate and decrease the constriction in the capillaries, basically make the capillaries smaller, which may be what they're talking about. But the idea that anybody ever smoked pot and it led to an amputation is complete insanity. There's nothing published on that in the entire medical literature, and it just doesn't make any sense pharmacologically.
Yeah.
If somebody already had Raynaud's really, really badly and then smoked a whole pound of pot, maybe this would happen, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Good. I'm glad that's as crazy as I thought it was, you know, because I always look at it. I looked at it from the other point of view, though. For people who already have amputations, cannabis can be an amazing pain reliever for that neuropathic pain.
Well, we do have data on that, so good way to frame it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you spoke about that heart rate thing, and this is another thing in this American Cancer Society paper they bring up. Marijuana may also serve as a trigger for a heart attack on rare occasions, usually within an hour of smoking.
So there was a big case control study that came out recently that suggested in a couple of heart attack cases across a giant, basically a whole big sample of heart attack cases, if someone had smoked pot, it was more likely to happen within that first hour afterwards than, say, 4 hours or more afterwards. And again, we're talking about a plant that does increase heart rate, but this is true of caffeine as well. This is true of literally anything else that would increase heart rate. So I don't want to turn this into some new excuse for reefer madness stuff. As the baby boomers are aging, we're going to have to watch our dosage. And I think the talk we saw at the normal conference one before last points out that if we keep our doses low, this heart rate reaction is going to be small, and our opportunity for developing tolerance is going to stay low, and we also keep our pot bill down. And so, by all means, a little dab will do you.
There we go. Now, speaking of dabs, you know, you bring that up, and I just got into some hot water for publishing an article that I entitled "The Danger of Dabs." And what I was trying to point out was that public relations-wise, it could be dangerous because of the way it looks. Looks like crack torches and, you know, the accoutrement and so on. But I did kind of, in passing, mention that, you know, I've been to a lot of these events where people will be at a hash bar or taking dabs, you know, the BHO, the butane hash oil. And, you know, even experienced pot smokers, I've seen them pass out, you know, from this. And I've seen, you know, and I think, you know, BHO, it's still cannabis. It can't be toxic. But if it's making people pass out, doesn't that make it slightly more dangerous?
I agree. Anytime you pass out, you're having a mild cerebrovascular accident. And I know what it's like to walk up to one of these hash bars and be so delighted with all the variety and want to suck down every single thing you see. But it's just not a good habit. And so by all means, particularly with the concentrated things like the oils, you have to do just a really small amount, give yourself at least 15 minutes before you try any more, and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and it's not everybody, you know. Just on occasion, at least at every event I've been to, there's been at least one. So I have to say that affects me. And I think part of it may also be, you know, the cultural, you know, the way that we use these products. Similar to, say, if a guy was a guy who'd like to pound a pint of beer, you wouldn't turn and then pound a pint of Jack Daniels the same way and not expect it to be a little more, to affect you a little more. Maybe it's just that they're taking hits that are too big for what they're doing, maybe?
You're right on the money. And in fact, not a lot of folks have experience with those extracted oils. And so they think, oh, the amount I need is comparable to the amount I need when I'm using the whole plant. And that's just not the case at all.
Yeah.
So a little coaching on this is really helpful. And I think the environment is often a situation, too, where everybody's standing up. You've got something that's going to increase heart rate but lower blood pressure. So it's kind of an invitation to end up a little bit dizzy, if you will. So if people would be willing to sit down and keep their doses small, they're going to have much more fun in the long run.
Yeah, and I think this leads to, you know, we always talk about it normal, being, you know, responsible use of marijuana. And we wouldn't turn and look at someone who's chugging a bottle of Jack Daniels and say that's responsible use of alcohol. Neither should we look at someone who's trying to take massive, let's see how messed up I can get and pass out level of dab hits as necessarily portraying responsible use. And I worry about that from a public relations aspect more so than a health aspect. Although, you know, passing out and hitting your head on something couldn't be good for you. All right. Let's move on. Let's get to another question, another subject here. Going back to that American Cancer Society thing, they make this mention, and this is another one that gets a lot of hits on the blog, and that is about use of cannabis during pregnancy. And here was one of their claims they made, is that it would increase the risk of leukemia in children whose mothers smoked marijuana during pregnancy. Where are they getting that from?
So Nancy Day had a paper out based on a sample of women who had used cannabis, but I haven't seen them actually show heightened rates of leukemia. I will check on that on Medline between now and next week just to make sure, but I'm afraid this may be manufactured out of whole cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not accustomed to the American Cancer Society just making stuff up, so I will definitely take a look, but I have no recollection of any increased rates in cancer in children of women who use cannabis during pregnancy.
Yeah, and I only excerpted part of the most compelling parts of this sheet, but I've got a link to it up at the blog, so if you happen to catch that, that's where you'll find it. And they do have references up there. You know, they list some of the studies that they're claiming as references, but they don't directly footnote the study to the particular claim, so, you know, I'm not as familiar with them as you were, and I don't know where to download them, so I didn't look up which one was claiming what, but it's some fascinating stuff, and I think maybe we ought to call the American Cancer Society out on this stuff.
I know that lab who would have those data, and I will check and certainly know by next week.
All right. Thanks so much for doing that. Now, before we let you go, I want to let people know that sometimes if you have these questions about cannabis, it can be a sensitive subject, and you may not want to talk on the telephone or be identified in chat. You can do this through email. If you want to get your question, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, just send it to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And before we go, Dr. Mitch, I forgot to give you the opportunity to tell us about any new data, studies, or things that you wanted to bring up in the cannabis community.
I'll be at the MassCAN Normal conference this weekend, giving an update on some of the newest data, and that study that showed that basically traffic accidents were lower in medical marijuana states, in part because people seem to be drinking less. I certainly hope folks get a chance to at least Google that,
mm-hmm.
because it's really encouraging information.
Yeah, we talked about that, and yesterday we brought up how CADCA and Kevin Sabet and others were trying to criticize the study, saying, well, you know, traffic fatalities had been on the decline for years before medical marijuana came around, and, you know, some other typical excuses they give here. But they seem to ignore the alcohol going down by 5%. In these other states too. Do you find this, you know, when you looked at that study, I mean, because they're saying it's just a work study, it's not peer reviewed. Do the data look compelling though?
Yes, they do. And in fact, I read Kevin's article, and it was the kind of thing that is just sort of flailing around, and it's the kind of criticisms that if I made them about the cannabis and psychosis link, for example, they'd be completely valid, but in this case, they're really nitpicking them for little things like, oh, they didn't do enough states, when in fact they decided not to include some states because they hadn't had cannabis, medical cannabis laws long enough. And as it turns out, the longer the states have the medical cannabis law, the stronger this relationship is. So I think that's about as compelling as we can get in policy research.
Yeah, well, I hope we have more follow-ups on this. And I think the media response to it, you know, Maya Salovitz wrote it up in Time magazine, has been very positive on this. And I'm just happy that we're talking about it, and it compels more people to do research on it. That's all the better. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks for joining us again here on Normal Show Live, and have happy holidays, and we will talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Bye now.
All right. When we come back, some radical rant time.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
This is Jennifer Alexander from A Different View. You can catch our show Mondays live at 8 p.m., replays at 2 a.m., a morning replay Thursday at 8 a.m., and a weekend replay Saturday at 5 p.m.
Hey, tokers and tokettes, this is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the marijuana nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from handmadeapparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic Blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, the designs feature their iconic logos and the It's Got to Be 420 Somewhere in the World tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Irie Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
The new Discovery Channel reality show Weed Wars is an overall plus for legalization. You know, I got a chance to watch Weed Wars, and it's, you know, going to be one of my favorite memories ever. Thursday night, the debut of Weed Wars, December 1st, I was in Key West, Florida at the Normal Key West Legal Seminar. So I was privileged to be able to watch the room in the suite of Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, myself, Keith, Alan St. Pierre, the executive director, Paul Armentano, the deputy director, Kendra Miller, who's an attorney with the Normal Women's Alliance, there's a few other people. Oh, Ann Davis, also with Normal Women's Alliance, Normal New Jersey. So we all got a chance to watch this together for the first time. And I won't tell you all of our side comments, but it was a lot of fun to watch. And generally, a positive reaction, although there were a few complaints that we did have. And, you know, I'm just going to give you kind of my basic review. First of all, some of you don't have cable or maybe haven't had a chance to see the episode. So I'd like to really quickly give you a quick synopsis of the plot of episode one.
You must pay the tax.
We can't pay the tax.
You must pay the tax.
We can't pay the tax.
You must pay the tax.
If we pay the tax, we'll go broke.
You must pay the tax.
All right, we'll find a way to pay the tax. Okay, so there is the first episode of Weed Wars in a nutshell. I think the thing that was most interesting about watching Weed Wars is watching the people in Weed Wars try to convince us that this was just a reality situation, that there just happened to be a camera here while we were talking. Let's put it this way. If you were trying to film a series in California and find people who could act worse, I don't think it's possible. Let's just say, for all the great they've done, and I, you know, my hat's off, literally, to Stephen D'Angelo and Harborside Health Center for all the patients they've served and how far they've pushed the envelope here in California and Prop 2 theme on that. You know, there's plenty of good there. acting is not the thing, though. let's all agree on that. Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention, again, it's an overall plus to the movement. I'll tell you why. Part of it is it gets to show cannabis in a retail setting, in a nice looking, I mean, really, the interior of, the interior shots of Harborside are beautiful with the counters and the bud tenders and weighing. And, you know, I believe that helps when middle America sees that and they see it just as a retail product, because a lot of the people who, have this fear, this ingrained fear of cannabis, really haven't even ever seen cannabis in their lives. They don't even know what it looks like. There's people out there that think it's snorted or think it's injected somehow, right? They have no clue. So the more reality we can show them about cannabis, the better. I think overall that's a good thing. I always say whenever we're talking about it, we're winning it. Whenever we're showing it, as long as we're showing it the right way sometimes, we are winning it. So there's that aspect to it. There's also the fact that you get the young man who is the clerk there. That was a interesting part of the show where he gets to talk about his day-to-day life. And for me, the clerk was one of the best parts of the show because of his unbridled honesty about it. Part of the PR that's been going around this show has been about, you know, these are real patients. These patients really need their medicine. They definitely, you will see on Weed Wars, people in wheelchairs and people with glaucoma. And the next episode I hear, I was reading the press release on this, involves a father looking to get cannabis tincture for his 5-year-old son with grand mal seizures, right? So they're going to see these miracles and these beautiful things that, we talk about all the time here on Normal Show Live. And that's great. What that part of the PR ignores is the fact that America knows that. America already knows that in a lot of ways, right? I think you'd be hard-pressed to find very many people where you could point to a 98-pound AIDS patient in a wheelchair smoking a joint and say, he's just getting high. That's not medicine, right? I do believe people have evolved to that point. And that's where we see the polls that support medical marijuana, like 70%, 80% support. Because people really believe, look, you got cancer, you got AIDS, you got severe pain, seizures, that kind of stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let them use whatever helps them. That's fantastic. It ignores the elephant in the room, though. That PR ignores the elephant in the room, which is the fact that there's a whole lot of people going to Harborside who, if they didn't have cannabis that day, their day would be just fine. They wouldn't have any major problems whatsoever. Now, that goes back to yesterday's rant with the health and wellness thing, and I'm not going to retread that. I just wanted to mention that clerk, I appreciated his honesty where he said, and it was something to the effect of, yeah, there's people that come in here that, you know, could probably get by without it. That's, you know, that's all we need to admit, because when we can make that honest admittance, you know, we could admit to that, you know, when we can honestly look at California and say, yes, some people who are perfectly healthy are getting marijuana. And because if we can come at that honestly, if we can come right out honestly and say, okay, you got us. You got us. There's a kid going into the Harborside Health Center who got a card for saying he's anxious and he's getting an eighth today so that he can smoke it up later when he goes out for a date or that he goes out for fun or whatever. And so what? That's the thing about how California and the way Prop 215, if it's properly marketed, if we own up to the honestly what's going on there, how we can win with it. But the way that we lose with it is by playing wink, wink, nudge, nudge games and shredding our credibility and getting the public to believe we're trying to pull something over on them. Let's get past it. A lot of them already believe we've pulled something over on them. A lot of them already feel that about medical marijuana in California. So what is the harm in saying, okay, you know, maybe it has turned into something that wasn't originally intended. So what? What terrible harm has befallen society because some kid who wants to go to a rap show got a gram at Harborside? So what? That's where we can win this. That's where we can win this, not by trying to cover it up, not by trying to euphemize it, not by running away or accepting an implication that somehow if I don't have an excuse to use marijuana, I've done something bad. That's where I think Weed Wars can win this, when people see that kind of stuff, when people see how mundane it is that, oh, look, a line of people getting some buds. No more interesting than a line of people at the grocery store. Maybe some of them, maybe has a bottle of wine. Maybe one of them's got a six pack of beer. Maybe another one's getting a pack of smokes. No big whoop. That's how we can win this. Now, I also wanted to address one particular point in the Weed Wars that did make us shudder when we were watching it, all of us at Normal. And that was the scene where Steven is trying to get a particular medible that he needs. He has to stop by the harbor side to get a specific medible that he wants. And the producers are saying, well, you're going to take that medible and then drive across town to San Jose. Was it going to San Jose? I forget where he's going. Going to one of these places. And he says, yes, well, I'm going to take this medible and it helps me to relax, you know, when I get to the gig and speak. And they're like, well, yeah, but you're about to drive. And he goes, yeah, but it takes, 45 minutes. I'll be there before it affects me. And I could just, everybody, our hair just stood up. Well, those of us that have hair, stood up on our necks. Because first of all, what? They don't have traffic jams in California? What? You couldn't get maybe 20 minutes into the trip and be locked up on one of the freeways and then, oh, here comes the brownies, right? That couldn't possibly happen. And then the idea that, okay, then you're going to take those so that you can be impaired at the gig that you're going to be at, where you're going to be speaking. That can be a good thing in people seeing, oh, look, he took those brownies and yet he's still able to speak and be intelligent and, all the things like I do this show. Or it could be a bad thing. Could be a bad thing of people looking at it and going, look, he's getting tripped out before he goes to speak. So it's going to be interesting to see how people react to this Weed War show. And I'm just hoping that in the future episodes that we address some of these things. And the other thing about this is that Heisenberg thing, about observing. Once you observe something, you've actually changed the quantity of what it is that's being observed. And I think that's happening with Weed Wars is that, the person and the lifestyle and the persona of who Steven is, because I've seen him at many events and we've talked many times personally, has to be different in having that spotlight being shown. And especially with the new U.S. attorney crackdown and the IRS and all that. So as far as it being reality, a reality show, is it reality? Is it public relations? Is it public relations for cannabis? Is it public relations for Harborside? There's a lot of questions here as we watch this program, and I'm, encourage people to call in and give me your perspective on it when we get into hour two here at 971-533-7111. New episode will be on tomorrow night, Thursday night. I think it's 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, so we will be watching it here at Rolla J Studios as well. Also, wanted to remind you before we go that we've got the Harborside rant up there on the blog at stash.normal.org. It's getting a lot of comments, a lot of conversation going on there. Check out stash.normal.org. Create your account there. Also, if you like what you're hearing, if you like live daily talk radio for the cannabis community, please help support Normal Show Live. Visit stash.normal.org. And on the right-hand side in the sidebar, you'll see a Donate Now button. That's in our WePay donation bin. We're trying to raise $4,200 by 420. We need to buy a new computer. If you've heard the feed stutter at times or have disconnections, that's part of the reason why. We need some new equipment. We've done pretty well with what we've cobbled together so far, but it's time for more memory, more hard drive, more bandwidth, and so on. We are dedicated to this show, going to be bringing this to you free. Free, I promise you, this show will be free. This information needs to go out to as many people as possible, but we need your help to make it happen. So visit wepay.com/donate/NSL or just visit stash.normal.org and look at the Donate Now button on the right-hand side. It's about all the time we've got for today's show. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you listening live at the 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock Pacific Eastern block, stay tuned for the 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock Toker Talk Radio live here from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. For those of you listening as a replay, that's it for now. You'll have to catch tomorrow's show. We'll be back with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. including some guests. We got some great guests on tomorrow's show. Let me just pull up the calendar real quick. On tomorrow's show, oh, from Leap. That's right. We've got a Leap guest tomorrow. From Leap, we have, Let's try that click again. You know how computers are. There we go. Steve Elliott from Toke of the Town. That's right. Steve Elliott from Toke of the Town will be joining us. And also from Leap, we've got Tony Ryan. So two guests on tomorrow's Normal Show Live. Make sure you check it out. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And for everyone here at the Normal Foundation, thanks for listening or downloading. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.